Probably the best place to begin is by defining humbug. My Merriam-Webster dictionary online says that humbug is something designed to deceive or mislead. You could then title the message Holiday Deception if you wanted to. And the natural question is, well, why have I titled the message then Holiday Humbug or Holiday Deception? Well, I'm thinking back to how I became a chaplain back during the Gulf War. Most all of the chaplains were deployed. In fact, pretty much all the chaplains were deployed. And there was a young recruit who took a dive off the 11th floor of the federal building. It's kind of an open format thing. And they couldn't get a chaplain there for 11 hours. And so the government went out looking for people to be chaplains, I actually was engaged by the government to be a chaplain for the military entrance processing station. I had to sign papers that I would not get government pay or a government retirement, but I was under their direction and under their authority. And so in 2004, that's what I was doing. And in 2004, I had an office on the 11th floor of that big blue federal building down in downtown Milwaukee. And I would have to go into the federal building, and you'd go through airport-style security. I still have it to this day. I had my special badge and my special pin, which I still have to this day. That would let you in to the federal building. And then at lunchtime, there was a connection between the federal building and what used to be, I don't think it's even called it anymore, but the Grand Avenue Mall. Remember the Grand Avenue Mall? And so I'd go over and pick lunch up at the Grand Avenue Mall. I remember walking into the Grand Avenue Mall. I'd started there in September. And it was Christmas time, and I'm walking into the food court, and there is a choir. I thought, man, a choir of bears, of people-sized bears. And I thought, wow, well, I could hear some music, and I went there, and there was a group of children standing around, and the bears were singing some dumb holiday song, and that's when I decided that, you know, you look around and really, and it's as bad today as it was back then, even worse, holiday humbug. It's a holiday hoax, because that day, this day, Christmas, It's not, focus isn't on Hanukkah, the focus isn't on Kwanzaa, the focus isn't on winter solstice, or shouldn't be, but it should be on the Christ of Christmas, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I was so blessed by our cantata this morning, because it points you truly to what Christmas is all about. As I heard the holiday bears singing some stupid, hollow, hopeless humbug of a song, I thought, man, how wonderful it would be if they would sing something like we just sang, Angels We Have Heard on High, to get the true meaning of Christmas. I know we just sang it, but angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain. And the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? what the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? The answer, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. See him in a manger lay. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. And then we sang the chorus, Gloria in excelsis Deo. What does that mean? It means glory to God in the highest. That's what in excelsis Deo means. Glory to God in the highest. The song is based on Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 14. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and 1 through 14. And it, the words of the song are based in this section. And it came to pass, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. So you'd have to go into the city of your birth. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. David was in his family tree. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising and saying, guess what? Glory to God in the highest. And the Latin for that is, of course, Gloria in excelsis Deo. But glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, good will towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, well, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. There is not a holiday song that can match the biblical holiday hymns of Jesus Christ. I just think of, I'm not against, I like hearing Bing sing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. But you know what? That doesn't make a change in anybody's life. Not at all. It's interesting, but more and more, biblical Christianity and the meaning of Christmas is being shoved into the corner, friends. And we're the ones who need to be singing glory to God in the highest and letting it be known. It wasn't too long ago, and I was in a store buying something for my wife, and the lady said, "Happy Holidays." And I turned and smiled at her, and I said, "I celebrate Christ, so Merry Christmas to you." And she smiled back and said, "Merry Christmas as well." But, you know, Jesus, that is what has divided the ages. I understand that they're trying to minimize it, because now instead of A.D. and B.C., B.C. before Christ, in Ad or Deuteronomy, in the year of our Lord, they want it to be B.C. and C.E., the common era, the common era. But Jesus Christ is the dividing mark. Jesus Christ is what has changed everything. And, you know, Christmas displays, as I've driven around in Oak Creek, you have snowflakes and you have all the lights. But I just think that Christians have been crowded into silence. Each year, I don't recall any shop that I've shopped at this year where they have a creche, where they have a manger scene. Do you, when you're in your Christmas shopping? I haven't seen it. Maybe they're there. You used to be able to see a few. But I remember the beginnings of the attack on Christmas. As I was pondering this, I think back to 2003, U.S. District Court Judge Charles Sifton ruled against the plaintiffs in a discrimination suit against the New York City Department of Education policy regarding the holidays. The policy allowed for, listen to this, Jewish menorahs, Islamic stars and crescents, but they banned the Christian nativity scene. They banned the Christian nativity scene. Sifton ruled that the policy is not unconstitutional because it doesn't discriminate against Christians. Huh? In his decision, he wrote, the policy is of secular intent. A menorah and a star and a crescent have a secular dimension, but the nativity scene is purely religious. Oh, man. The city of Florida banned the displaying of a privately funded nativity scenes. And I just, you know, even today, a lot of people, a lot of cities have backed off. We don't see a focus on Christ. We don't see the focus on Christmas. And so we need to stand firm and stand solid, as this church has in the past, and as we are as people. You know, they want to put Jesus Christ in the corner. But it's a matter of heaven and hell, friends. It's a matter of heaven and hell. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Little has changed since the days of the apostles. The political establishment and the political crowd, they raised their heel against the Christ child. In Acts chapter 4, the political leaders threatened Peter and John and told them that they couldn't talk publicly about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 24 through 27... it says, and in Acts chapter 4, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, whom by thy mouth, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel have gathered together. They've gathered together against them. I'm just urging you in your family time, make sure that Christ is center focus. The world's not going to do that. I'll be doing a special Christmas program on the radio tomorrow for my next Sunday program, but you know, the culture of the Apostles' Day is not unlike our own. They've raised up their heel against the Holy Child Jesus. And the Apostles were beaten for teaching in the name of Jesus. But even though they were beaten, they said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. It's not likely that we're going to be beaten. I go into the military instance processing station tomorrow, I'm going to wish people a Merry Christmas. I always have gospel tracts with me, and as I have opportunity, I hand them out. I just want to say that Christmas without Christ is a holiday humbug. It really is. It's a holiday humbug. It's a holiday deception. Our focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh to dwell with us. I think of what I read in Matthew chapter 1. And then I get down to verse 18. Let me get there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And here is what we read in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make a public example of her, not willing to have her stoned, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying in Isaiah 53, in fact, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, just like we sang this morning. And just like the little drummer boy Manny said, it means God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Leaving that out, having a holiday without Jesus Christ is a holiday humbug. It's a holiday deception. It's a ruse. I like the song by Charles Wesley, 181 in your hymnal, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark, it says, I'm going to go to verse 2. Christ, the highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. late in time, behold him come. Offspring of a virgin's womb. Now listen to this. Boy, this is theological. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity, God in the flesh, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. As I think about what those bears were singing, I think it was Elvis's song, I'll Have a Blue, Blue Christmas. Holiday humbug, friends. You look at this. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. My brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let the birth of Christ and in his incarnation become just another holiday. It is one of the two most important holidays of the year. The birth of Christ, number one, and the resurrection of Christ, number two. Let us never forget who Jesus Christ really is. Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I just think of the Hallelujah chorus every time I read that. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. In fact, I know we didn't sing this one today, but another one that comes to my mind, I wish the Bears would have sung O Holy Night. That's 183 in your hymnals. O day of joy, when in eternal splendor he shall return in his glory to reign, when every tongue do praise to him shall render, his power and might to all nations proclaim. A thrill of hope our longing heart rejoices, for soon shall dawn that glad eternal morn. Fall on your knees, with joy lift up your voices. O night divine. O night when Christ was born. O night. O night divine. No happy holidays for me. However, I do wish you and your loved ones a joyous Christ-centered Christmas. I don't want any part of the holiday humbug.